Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
All right, you're very welcome along to our Saturday panel. It's a huge weekend in Gaelic football. We have the All-Ireland football semi-finals, Dublin against Galway this evening, and then that All-Ulster clash of Monaghan and Tyrone tomorrow. I'm joined by three legends of the GAA in studio, Dick Clerkin of Monaghan, Liam Kearns, the Tipperary football manager, and Pádraig Joyce of Galway. Thanks for coming in, lads. Pádraig, we were down in Galway on Thursday night. We were in the Roisin Dubh. We were doing a bit of reminiscing, getting a little bit nostalgic with Ray Silk and Pat Comer 20 years on. Pat Comer, I've never spoke to him before. Sub goalie in 98, director of A Year Till Sunday. A great GAA man who really underplays his role in that team. And even though he'd been involved in the squad 15, 20 years, but he showed us some footage on the night, some on-scene footage of A Year Till Sunday of the team travelling up to Dublin. And there was clips there of Sean Purcell ahead of the game and the celebrations. Like, it's such a brilliant snapshot, a brilliant memento for you players to have 20 years on.
Yeah, he's great. Like, Pat had that video going the whole year, like, you know, but he wasn't intrusive with the video. He had it under a towel in the dressing room, and he's loads of footage. But he's a great man, Pat. Like, he used to, when the games were over, he used to go fishing out in Carrow on a boat on his own, so no one would be nine him. But he used to always had the method that it was all down to history and geography, being born in the right place at the right time. That was his saying, as about teams being formed together. But it's a great memento to have it. It's just impossible to believe it's 20 years ago. So hence all the grey hairs now and all that kind of stuff moving on. But it's a great time for us, but time just has flown by, you know.
We had Michael Meehan there on Thursday night as well. And actually, Ray Silk said that line about right place, right time. And we said to Michael, like, one of the great Galway forwards, not in the right place at the right time. He comes in a couple of years after winning the All-Ireland in 01 and misses out then on playing in an All-Ireland semi-final today by a couple of years. And Dick, in many ways, you're in a very similar position.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of Michael and how unfortunate he was, because, and probably injuries more so than timing, because I'd say Michael would be well fit to contribute off the bench the same way as Shawnee Armstrong's doing at a similar age. So listen, yeah, sometimes timing is everything. But from my point of view, I don't really listen. I'd long enough had it. Goodness. Stretched much more out of it. You know, we had plenty of sort of big days at this sort of level, maybe not just semi-final, but in terms
of that sort of big game
against, you know, against a top team in Croke Park. It just didn't get over the line. But listen, it's great now to be going as a fan.
Yeah, what's it been like in Monaghan this week?
It's been strange. It's starting to pick up, because you're only a week, you see. Sometimes it takes a wee bit of time.
It
takes a wee bit of time for that whole momentum to build. And I think going into the weekend now, it's definitely starting to ramp up. The colours getting great around the town. And you know, I think everybody, I don't think I've spoken to anybody that's not going. You know, there's people, you know, there's the diehard fans that have been all over the country at this stage, but then you've all the sort of, I wouldn't call them bandwagon, but you know, you've just kids and parents bringing them down, and I think any man, woman and child is fit to get to Croke Park.
He's telling lies, because I was a man in the last couple of days, and the whole place is blue and white. My wife's a man and woman.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere's blue and white. There was even a thing on the go there that if you went to work in Monaghan on Friday, you had to wear
a blue jersey.
If you didn't, you couldn't go to work. So.
I don't work about Monaghan now, so I'm not in there every day.
You can avoid the hype.
I can, yeah.
As much
that's
as possible.
You want to be,
Liam, I guess this time 2 years ago, Tip were preparing for an All-Ireland semi-final. You know all about the buzz and the hype. When you get to a high like that, a season like this, is it more of a disappointment, more of a frustration?
Yeah, the season was a disappointment and frustrating more than anything else. And I think the Cork match was the big one. But we lost, I suppose, three games that we should have won. We lost to Roscommon in the league, we lost to Kevin in the league. We probably should have won both of those, and that would have given us promotion. And then we lost to Cork, and that really made a mess of our year. So that's it. If you don't turn up on the big day, you don't get what you want out of it, and that's the reality of it for us this year. I think we stagnated this year, which is disappointing, yeah.
As a manager, how difficult is that part where there is no great sign of progression? Do you have to look at yourself, look at your management team and somehow try and figure a way to reinvigorate? Like, are you fully intending on going back next year?
Yeah, I mean, that's the intention, yeah. And I mean, we have to look at everybody. When you have a defeat like we had against Cork, where it's the first time in 11 championship matches in 3 years that we didn't show up for a championship match. And that was, you know, really disappointing. And you have to look at everything after that, you know. And in fairness, we did redeem ourselves to some extent against Mayo, but as I said to them in the dressing room afterwards, patronising, and you know, I don't want to patronise anybody and say that moral victories are any good to us now, because
you're past that.
You know, when you got to a semi-final, an All-Ireland semi-final 2 years ago, well then, moral victories are no good to you.
The reason I was asking, obviously, is because when you look at the shortlist of names for the Kerry job, you're right up there. Is it something you've thought about?
No, and I don't want to play the what-if game. Every time the Kerry job comes up, I get asked questions, and I'm a broken record at this stage. And I what-ifs are, you just don't want to go down that route, and I certainly don't want to go down that route. So, they'll fill the Kerry job in time, and we just have to wait and see what that'll be. Yeah. I know as much about it as you do, or the papers do at this stage.
All right, because I was just looking. You were 33-1. I thought we might get a little bit of insight.
I'd say keep your money in your pocket if that's the case.
You'd lay off at that, could we?
The Saturday panel brought to you today with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade. Go
Nathan,
on.
That's a good. I was 6-1 a week ago. So
obviously, what have you
somebody
done?
Knows what did you do? Somebody's done something that I don't.
As I say, this afternoon we're here with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. We're live on all our social channels as well, facebook.com/offtheball, youtube.com/offtheball, and on Twitter. If you do want to get in touch, if you have any questions for the lads, if you're travelling up to the game, 53106 is the text number. Do give us your thoughts ahead of Galway against Dublin. We'll get into previewing the two games shortly, but I wanted to get all your thoughts on the story, I guess, that's been everywhere this week, which is the level of abuse that is being directed at intercounty managers and players. It was Eamon Fitzmaurice who really reopened the can of worms, because we all knew it was there. I'm sure you all read the comments that came out initially when he was talking to Dave McIntyre on Sky after the game last week, that he felt that maybe he was a lightning rod for the criticism, and that was also starting to get to the players. And we've had numerous inter-county managers, James Horan, Micheál Donoghue, talking about hate mail. And listen, I didn't even think people had to go past Twitter anymore to put abuse out there. Like, Liam, as an inter-county manager, I'm not sure as a football manager in Tipperary if it's quite the same as maybe what Mick Ryan would have faced as the hurling manager, but is it something you'd be well aware of, that there is letters coming in the post, that the level of criticism oversteps the mark quite regularly?
Well, I'm aware of it from other people's point of view, and you've mentioned Tipperary hurling manager would be Kerry manager and so on, but I have to say, I've managed Limerick, I've managed Tipperary, and I've managed Laois, and I haven't got any letters. I got one or two complimentary letters, but I haven't got any abusive letters, touch wood, so far. The nearest that's come to it is some character when I was in charge of Laois. We were being beaten by Wexford, and he came down in Croke Park and started roaring, nothing about Laois football and so on. So that was the closest I came to getting abuse, I suppose, in relation to it. So maybe I've been lucky, but I would say, yeah, it's the counties where they expect to get results. I would say they're the counties that come under most pressure. But there's no place where, as Eamon Fitzmaurice said, telling a player to jump off a cliff and take, that guy. To be honest, I think that guy should be prosecuted, whoever he is. That's be my view. But I can't say I've personal experience of it.
You're from Kerry, so you know the intense pressure that's there to succeed, and an expectation, and I think someone was writing about this, almost an entitlement for success among some Kerry supporters, not realising how difficult it is to actually go and win over 30 All-Ireland titles.
Yeah.
Is it particularly venomous? Do you see that looking from the outside at what's aimed at the Kerry football manager, that it feels different to even other counties?
There's huge interest in it. I was reminded of Paul Galvin. I read his book, and he said he was in a hardware store getting buying something Sunday, and a 70-year-old man came up and caught him by the wrist, and he just welled up, tears in his eyes, and it was after they'd been beaten by Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final or final, and he didn't say anything, he couldn't say anything, and Paul just said to him, I know, and that's how much it meant. But I mean, there's some people that are over the top about it, and that's the reality of it, and in these counties you're going to get some of that spilling over into abusive letters. Now, I wouldn't condone that. I don't think anybody should be getting abusive letters for an amateur sport, but unfortunately it is.
Ricey McMenamin down in Galway, and I think Joe McMahon was on the show yesterday, and look, it's easy a decade on after getting these letters to look back and laugh, but for young 19, 20, 21 year old Kerry players who are just emerging, wondering, am I going to have to put up with this for the next decade? It's a totally different story. But like, Ricey was telling stories of, weirdly, a letter coming from Kerry abusing him and going into some of the really terrible things that happened around Tyrone football over the last decade, and bringing all this up, and really nasty, vitriolic stuff that you just wouldn't expect. Like, as a player, is it something you would have seen? Was it more online in the last couple of years?
Yeah, you see, letter writing, really, it's probably anyone under 30 who may have never written a letter in their life. I'd say it's probably an older thing, but like social media, in terms of Twitter or message boards, that's the forum for the younger generation to really have the go. And they do, and if you're very active at that level, so I'm sure a lot of the young Kerry players, they might never get a letter, but they'll get plenty through other forum, because that's the way a lot of the communication is done now. And it is tough, there's been plenty of instances over the last couple of years in different counties you hear of pressure players found and getting slaughtered on message boards and these things. And yeah, you say that shouldn't matter, it shouldn't circulate, but the reality is that's what people are reading, that and that sets the sort of narrative. And it is difficult, and it's not, you're fighting against the tide and stuff like that. It's not something that we can talk about it, we can sort of say how bad it is, but it's just it, because how passionate people are about the GA. You won't get it, I'm not being disingenuous, about rugby, because you don't have that real die-hard passion for your club or your county. Soccer as well, maybe not in Ireland, but GA people are just so passionate and caring in that, and especially in the successful counties, because you know you get to a level and when that success goes, you just want it back. Mm. And it's so tough for them not to get it. And I was talking to Liam before, you know, where Monaghan's at now at the minute, you know, I can guarantee you Malachy O'Rourke will not get any letters, because they're not just at that level of tradition, of success, of demand. Mm. Almost it's okay not to succeed. You know, you'll still get that sort of pat on the back. And sometimes you need that little bit of a pressure and edge to keep you up there and push you over the line. So you don't want
Probably a different story for the Tyrone players if they lose tomorrow compared to the Monaghan players.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it does come hand in hand with success, but, you know, obviously for Amos Morris, it just got almost entirely. And I can only imagine what they have to deal with down there.
Mm. Mm. It's very difficult, particularly for those younger players now, to switch off, not to go on Twitter, because also they want to see if there's something good been said. But by and large, it's going to be pretty negative. It's almost impossible at this stage to switch off and not hear it.
For every good comment you'll get about yourself, there's probably 10 the other way, and that's just the way social media goes.
I thought it was a bit disappointing as well during the week. I know Amos Morris came out and said it, but then all of a sudden there's a raft of people out behind him that, oh, well, I got them. Mm. And we talked about the Goblin minor hurling manager got something from the parents. Like, I mean, look, does that need to be aired in the public? I personally don't think it does. I feel sorry for the guy that gets them, but look, I think they should just put them to bed and just move on from it. You know, there's no point dragging it out now a couple of days later. Fair enough. Eamon's one you can identify with, because you can't name players and jump off a cliff was a terrible comment to make, like, you know, but like, look at, I got a letter, we've all got them just stating about the state of the team and this and that, but you don't throw them in the bin, they light a fire.
Yeah.
And in fairness to Eamon, I think he brought it up to protect the players.
Exactly. Yeah,
we're not talking because of the player.
Eamon's grievance, like, 100% behind, like, it's no place in that, like, you know. But like, in general, like, you can't say that Kerry footballer supporters are bad people. There's one or two bad eggs in every
It's a minority.
I guess a lot of these managers, when they're bringing it up, though, even if it is a couple of years ago, it's just to show the level of pressure that is put on you, because people look at an intercounty job as if it's the dream job for people and it's all sweetness and light.
I'm sure if Jack O'Connor spoke to Pat O'Shea and Amos Morris, if they compare the three letters they got, you can guarantee the handwriting is probably the same. You know, it's coming from the same probably couple all the time, you know. Yeah,
you're just giving them oxygen, really, you know, and you're giving people ideas in their head. So
unfortunately, like back in our time, like, I'm not saying the youth of today have more access to social media. Back in our time, you talk about Ryan McMillan, he'd give you a running commentary when you're marking him. Great crack.
Didn't need to write a letter.
You know? But like, when the game is over, he'd shake your hand, you go for a beer. It was great. Like, whereas nowadays, I don't think with social media, that fellas are kind of more prepared to deal with that kind of criticism, and they're not fit for it as much as not as thick-skinned as we were.
Is that bond between players from opposite teams still there? Maybe it's different sets of players at different stages of their career come together, because down in Galway, a lot of your era would speak about that Kildare team that you beat in 98, and that Kildare group would often come down to Galway for a weekend and you'd still all meet up.
They do come down, like I know Glenn Ryan and Dermot Early and Anthony Rainbow, the McCormack gang, them come down to Galway every year for the races, and they meet a few of the boys on Wednesday night, and they go in a bar in the hole in the wall in Galway, a few bets and a few drinks, and they go racing together on Thursday. But there's a great bond with them boys. I met Dermot loads of time, play golf together, and even the Kerry boys I played with, Darren, Tomás and Seamus Mind, them lads, I meet them regular, and all that kind of stuff. Even Steve McDonald and Armagh, like Kieran McGeaney, like them lads, there's a great bond I have with them anyway. So nowadays, I'm not so sure is there that same bond, because you're watching teams coming into Croke Park and they're all wearing headphones. Like, there's no one talking on the buses. There's, you know, in our time there was no these big Beats headphones, and you had to talk to the guy beside you. Yeah. Whereas nowadays, I'm just wondering, do they talk, or what level do they come in at? You know,
there is good friends. Like, I think college teams, university. You know, you've seen a lot of county players now mixing at that level, and I know they'd be very friendly. Yeah. I was down in Killarney last weekend for the Kerry game, and I actually bumped into a few of the Kildare players. Niall Kelly was there. Next thing, he took a Snapchat. He said, "Well, I'm going to send this to Ryan Wiley," you know, because Ryan's teammate from UCD, and there would be, and that would have been a big bonding area for inter-county players. The inter-provincials used to be a good forum for mixing. And it's a pity to see that falling away, because a lot of my friendships in other counties would have come through that. So it's disappointing. So I can see it's something that's probably going to start to filter down when teams are getting
and so intense. And there's a lot of international rules in the last couple of years, but there's a huge level of, like, okay, they come in a bit shy, but by the time it's all over, they're great pals. But that's on a certain elite, higher level. You know, there's a lot of inter-county players, I don't know, are they?
How do you feel, how do you find it, Liam, dealing with lads in their early 20s now? Because we've had coaches in here over the last year or so talking about, they feel that millennials, shall we call them, that this, very much the younger generation, people under, lads under 25, are very different from even fellas from 10 years ago, because they have their heads in their phones all the time, that to try and get their attention, to get their concentration. How do you work through that? Have you noticed a change?
It is different. I've noticed a change. I mean, when I came back into inter-county football, I took a break for about 5 years. I came back into inter-county football, I got involved with Roscommon, because I said, you know, there's huge changes in 5 years, and that's what I found. Social media, analysis of games, all of that kind of stuff had moved on hugely in 5 years. So I learned an awful lot then from being involved in the coaching side of it. And then I went back in with Tipperary after that. But no, the players in general, the fundamentals stay the same, but you are operating in an era of social media. I think that is the huge.
But does your message need to be shorter?
WhatsApp
than
and all of that.
Ago?
I didn't have WhatsApp. Yeah. 5 years when I was involved, 5 years previously, there was no WhatsApp groups or any of that. And then when I came back 5 years later, this was the way, the medium for connecting with the players and contacting the players. But I think the basics are the same, you know, as regards a football team and bonding and all of that kind of thing. I think they're the same, but you're in a social media age, and that is the big change for me anyway. And I think the other thing I found is that the preparations are gone through the roof now. In 5 years they went from a certain level to at least two levels above that again, and since I've been involved the last 3 years, I think they're still rising, and you're just kind of wondering yourself, well, when is it going to level off or plateau, and when is it going to? But I you know, you've got to, I don't know how far more we can go as an amateur association. You know,
that's a difficult thing for a manager, because especially a team like Tipperary, who've been on the rise over the last couple of years, there's a lot of young players, they've seen their friends go to the AFL, they hear back what a proper full professional setup looks like, and they want to get as close to that as possible while somehow remaining within the amateur ethos. Like, it's hard for you to say, actually, we've done enough here, when they're looking at Dublin, they're looking at other counties that are more successful, who may have more time, who don't need to spend as much time travelling. Do you ever say enough is enough? Do you ever try and take them out of it?
No, you try to. That's the reality for all of us. You've got to try to improve. I mean, we stagnated last year, so next year now we're going to have to find extra edges in different areas to try and move it on again. And that's the reality of it. So, no, the answer would be that you've got to keep chasing it, and you've got to, you know. And I think myself, I don't know what the Super 8s have shown to me anyway, the level of fitness levels of the likes of Monaghan, Kildare, Mayo, Kerry, the top teams are gone to another level. You know, Dublin, obviously, they're right up there as well. But I think they're all getting to the level. I mean, playing 7, 8, 9 games in 11 weeks and that kind of thing, that's serious. And the players seem to be able to do it.
Well, that was very interesting listening to Kevin McStay about Roscommon and his feeling that maybe physically that they weren't quite there yet. Even though this is a Roscommon team who, at underage level, have had huge success. They've all been around an inter-county setup. They've won a Connacht Championship. They've played big games in Croke Park. That even still, he feels they're that step behind Dublin, Donegal, Tyrone.
I great time for Kevin McStay. I think he's been a breath of fresh air as a manager. I was at the Donegal game down there. It wasn't physicality that lost in that game. There was just serious deficiencies from a team setup. You know, no kick out strategy, stuff like that. And you know, people talk about Dublin now. Like, you know, what's setting Dublin aside at the minute for me is not their physicality. It's just good coaching. They've a great manager, and these guys are coached with the nth of their ability. They're all maxing out. And there's very few other counties can say the same. You know, like the players aren't coming in as big as they were in terms of just huge units of men as they were for a while. You know, but they're just really well coached. And you just see how and if you look closely at the Dublin players, how proficient they are in all the skills, making right decisions. And when it comes down to that, that means there's nothing any other county can't replicate in terms of coaching. And look what's starting to happen at Leinster. The Kildares, the Meads, the Wicklows at minor underage level, they're starting to get their act together at underage level, and they're starting to be able to compete because kids are coming out. And that's, if you go to Meath in these counties, they'll admit they were asleep at the wheel there for too long in terms of development. And they can compete at that level because they've been coached right and they're coming up through the system and they're as good as the Dublin players. But they need to sustain that through and allow these players to develop. And that's where things, I think, fall off. You talk about the new generation. They just want that instant success. They're just not willing to put in 3, 4, 5 years in senior level and the whole thing falls away.
The downside of that is that young kids are coached to an inch of their life. They're overcoached. Some of them, and it's like, and they're stifled, really. You know, there's like, you have to be able to go out and express yourself as a young person up until you're at least 18 anyways, you know, underage. But now you see sweepers playing under 14s, under 16s. It's crazy. Like, it's just... like there's a huge emphasis on winning the game, like, you know yourself, but you go back, like, I know 20 years ago in Galway in 98, like we trained Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday, and when there was a championship weekend, you might you come close to the championship, you train Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. That was in 98. When I retired in 2012, I trained 10 times, Galway trained 10 times in the week, like, it's only 7 days in the week, like. So it got that level in the space of a few years. Talk about mobile phones and WhatsApps. Like, I think the prize for a 98 All-Star was getting a mobile phone with nine buttons on it. You know, and there was no text that time.
But also, it was ability. It was ability, and it was down to skills.
Skills, it was focused on skills. Whereas now, it went to
athleticism, and I think it might.
I know teams nowadays train, like, they go and train at 9 o'clock some mornings, they don't come out till 6 in the evening. Like, they do sessions and set plays, and it's gone so technical, like, and.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, how long players will sustain that.
It is, but it's, I don't know if you've seen many minor games this year. I think the minor grade, that year younger again, has added, like, they play with an innocence. And there is a little bit of time, but it's like a world away from the senior game.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they just go out and play, a lot of them do.
They should be allowed to play.
That's right, they do,
they are minor, they should be allowed to that.
But the reality is that the best preparation for senior football? Because it reminds me, actually, often of watching, say, in football, the FA Youth Cup, and you watch Chelsea and Manchester City at under 18 level, and it's some of the best football you'll ever see. But it's not real life. It's not real football. There's nobody clattering into you at 100 miles an hour like they are at St. James's Park today. And maybe that's where the step up comes. So how do you cultivate that in the other counties in Leinster so that they are ready and they're willing to stick around? Because is that another part of the problem, all that good stuff you're saying that these counties are doing? That if they're 18, 19 and they're looking at how far their county is behind Dublin, they're wondering, well, am I going to commit to this for the next 10 years? When realistically, have I any chance of even winning a Leinster title?
And see, that's the issue, like I always said, success breeds success, and Monaghan are starting to reap rewards in that. Like, we're going up tomorrow, not just the seniors, we've our minor team now. Who'd have thought that 10 years? If you told someone in Monaghan, not just whatever, but the senior team making the punch, because you're always so far away at minor grade, but that has come through for that last 10, 15 years. People want to play for Monaghan, they want to come in, and next thing, the development squads and the standard of football raises, and next thing, you're producing minor teams are winning Ulster titles and beyond. And I think it does take sometimes in a county just a group of players to sort of push it through, and then next thing you get to a level that the success sustains itself.
That's where the Tipperary football team came from.
Exactly.
This present one.
You just kept at it. And it is tough. Like, there's no getting away from it, but I think it has to be sold in more so than just success and medals, because reality is, if you're a young Leinster footballer, the chance of medals in Leinster is very small. But there's so much more to be got out of playing GAA as well. You know, the Super 8s even, like, that is such a carrot now for a team to get to. You'd have loved to have got to that. I know you said it's difficult. What an experience for the likes of the Tipperary's been in that competition, because it was massive for counties like that. And I think there's a huge amount there, but young people just want more and they want it immediate, you know.
53106 is the text number if you want to get in touch. We're joined in the studio by Dick Clerkin, by Liam Kearns and by Pádraig Joyce. I do want to get on to the two matches. So Galway this afternoon, what is it, 26 straight wins for Dublin in the senior championship, bidding for four in a row. You're talking about teams getting the maximum out of themselves tactically. Your former teammate Kevin Walsh, is he getting the maximum out of this Galway team, or do you think there's still more to come over this season and the next couple of years?
There's definitely more to come in the team, the way they're playing. Like, I mean, Kevin, when he played with us midfield, like, he was kind of the orchestrator at the time. Like, we used to call him Daddy at the time, because we were young lads. He was always telling us where to go, what to do. He'd huge tactical brain. Like, he was always and ever going to be a Galway manager, you know. I know he applied for the minor job there years ago and wasn't successful, that's what sent him down to Sligo for maybe 3 years, which is hard to believe. But he's back now. He's had a style of play the last couple of years that the general public in Galway mightn't be happy with. But when you look back at it, like, you look at Pat Gilroy came into Dublin, what he had to do. like he was like they went through the same method starting off going very defensive because he called them to start Lewigs against Tyrone 1 year, didn't know what to do, whereas at least like you get a base, like you go back to Eric Cantona in 96 apparently told Alex Ferguson unless he gets a defender he was leaving the club, and he gets in Yapstam and they win the league that year. United win 7 games 1-0, Cantona scores a goal in each game. You have to get a foundation at the back as such, like, you know. Now while we've done that, we need to develop to the come out and about a bit more, maybe get up front and try and support more up front. Like, but one thing that we have in Galway is skillful forwards. We're never short in getting a few forwards, you know. And you can manufacture a back. No offense to the defenders, like, but you can manufacture a wing back or whatever. But like we have plenty of talent players like Ian Burke, Shane Walsh, Damien Comer, Eamon Brannigan has plenty of potential.
Yeah.
Michael Daly, these guys, like, they can explode if they get the ball, but like they need to get the basics right of how to defend and build up the confidence over the years. That's what Kevin has done. We're now in probably the biggest game we've played in 20 years in Galway since 2001, an Ireland semi-final. You spoke about Mike Meehan early on. He never got to a semi-final. We're here now. Like, it's a massive challenge, but look, at the players themselves have to rise up and say, look, it's my time to make a name for myself and give it all they can today.
Yeah, Jaff Allen said, I think it was at half-time in 98, that he'd never felt as tired and as leggy when you went in 3 points down, that he had to go somewhere he'd never gone before. And obviously, we all know what happened in the second half, one of the great All-Ireland performances. That's what three of these counties are going to have to do over the next couple of games if they're to win the All-Ireland final. You're probably going to have to go somewhere as a player you've never gone before.
And, you know, looking at Galway, I'm very interested to see Galway, not just from where Galway is at in terms of how they can push Dublin, really to sort of benchmark Monaghan, because everyone's sort of, you know, looking at the game last weekend and how good were Galway, how tuned in were they mentally, and because, you know, if Monaghan are that good that they can beat a top performing Galway team by double scores in Pierce Park, well, there's no reason why Monaghan not only shouldn't be winning tomorrow, should push Dublin all the way. So I'm expecting a much better performance from Galway. I think everyone is.
They're already
qualified. Look, they weren't going to kill themselves. Yeah. They were going to be playing in 7 days' time regardless. Like, and no disrespect to Tyrone or Donegal, whoever came through, it was still going to be a tough game. Like, so they were qualified already as it was. So look, I think people are reading far too much into that. Yeah. We have skillful players, like, but it's up to, as you say early on, about players going to somewhere they haven't gone before. Like, you're still down to the basics. Like, don't give the ball up. You watch teams that lose games, the team that makes the least mistakes, like, end of the day, like, you're still going to be fit enough, but it's how you react in a quick second when there's two or three dubs coming at you. You give the quick hand pass, quick kick pass, a little flick, support the right ball. It's small things that will change big games, like, you know.
Just going back to Kevin Walsh, like, he inherited a Division 2 team, you know, who were stagnated and stuck in Division 2. I mean, they've now a Division 1 team competing in Division 1 finals. They're in an All-Ireland semi-final. Yes, he's had a few setbacks. Losing to us in an All-Ireland quarter-final didn't do him any good, and losing to Roscommon in a provincial final when they were overwhelming favourites also. But you'd have to say in 4 years they've come on a huge amount, and they're now back in the top six in the country. So to me, Kevin Walsh has done a great job for 4 years, and that's the reality of it. And now there's a huge building block there to go and build for the future. As you say, they can only get better.
Like, even Dublin today, like if you look at Galway, even this season, like, as such, like, they've improved so much from last season. Like, Dublin is the only two meaningful games that county haven't beaten. They drew them in the league and didn't beat them. The Monaghan game we're not going to really count, but like now is a chance for Galway. It's a huge occasion. Like, and you'd be hoping, with all the talk about referees all week, with Barry Cass refereeing the game, that the occasion doesn't get them. But they get, I know in the league final, say there was a couple of dodgy frees kind of after half time, that when Dublin had the guy sent off. Normally when a team gets someone sent off, they get the next couple of frees kind of soft enough to balance it out. So just once you get all the decisions kind of gone, we will need all them decisions to go in their favour today, and a couple more to try and topple Dublin, you know.
Yeah, you need about six different things to go in your favour to beat this Dublin side. And they do ask questions that no other team ask. And say Galway do go with a quite defensive, hard-hitting setup, and you see Damien Comer dropping back very deep, and you see Shane Walsh dropping back very deep, and it's tight with 20 minutes left. Is that where the difficulty then starts, as to do you stick with what's worked for the first 45, 50 minutes and kept you in the game, and then you go for it, or do you just hope that somehow you grind out a 1 point win?
You're going to have to, sounds very simplistic, outscore them. And what I mean by that is you have to go out with a mentality that, right, Dublin's going to knock up a minimum of 16 points. So to beat them, we have to be hitting close to 20. And you know, the only way you're going to do that against the Dublins of this world is go out with a bit of an offensive approach. If you're too, like, because we made that mistake, and too many teams have made that mistake, thinking you can close it down and hit them on the break, you just won't beat Dublin like that. They need to score goals. So to score goals, you need to create goals. So the likes of Damien Comer, these guys, they need to be near the goals. If Damien Comer was rooting around the middle of the field from early on, the game's dust.
Yeah, you know, Michael Meehan was suggesting actually that maybe something that he might change this time is actually just keep Damien Comer right there. And
he's a threat in
well, Comer causes them more problems than any other forward in the country over the last two or three years in the league, in the National League.
If Dublin are to have a suspected line, you would be targeting their full back line. But unfortunately, I've never seen Dublin in the last 24 games been 4 points to one down or 5 points to one down after 10 minutes, because when teams play them, they come out and just sit back and they allow Johnny Cooper and they allow Philly McMahon solo forward and James McCarthy and these nets. So look at hopefully, but to beat Dublin, you have to have about four or five different game plans. You got to push up at stages. You got to sit back. You got to try and watch the kick outs. You got to there's loads of them, but you have to be adaptable on the pitch to what they're doing. And it's all right the manager on the line saying do this, do that, but the players themselves need to man up and realise, well, there's a danger there. I got to quench that. I got to go here.
And you'd hope Galway learned from the league final when they went down to 14 men. They didn't actually change their system.
We got outscored like 6-2.
I would hope that they would now. I would hope that they would change and would be capable of changing.
Where are Dublin then? Because you look at the Super 8s, the first day out of Croke Park against Donegal was a very strange game. It was very flat. Donegal never looked like winning it, but also Dublin never got to fifth gear. Second time out, Tyrone seemed to finish the stronger and gave himself a chance certainly of drawing that game, and then obviously they blew Roscommon apart. Have they been gearing up for this weekend all year?
Oh, I think so, yeah, definitely. I think they've been building towards it. I think it's all in their favour, everything is in their favour, the present format. Like, they were able to rest all their players last
week. Nine changes in the team that's been announced.
Still won easily and bring in guys who are totally fresh now against the Galway team that played only 6 days ago in their own backyard and came off a defeat at the end of the day. And people can say it doesn't matter, but it does matter. And I think you know, you look at Monaghan and Tyrone, as I said to Dick there, they've something like 9 or 10 games in 11 weeks played. You know, that there's no doubt the freshest team and possibly the best team in the last four are Dublin, and so it's definitely stacked in their favour, and it's going to take a huge effort from any of the other three teams to beat them, you know.
Do you expect Jim Gavin rewards the players who played well last week? Do you expect him to start Cormac Costello?
No, I'd say he'll probably go with pretty much close to the team that he has named, which is probably his strongest hand. I'd say if you had to pick now, it doesn't get weakened if you slot a few guys in. We know that, but I just think, and I've said this a couple of times over the last few years, like, you can't give Jim Gavin enough credit in terms of to maintain and you know, Liam's as a manager. To try and get any group of players to sustain a top level of performance is so difficult, because there's so many variables. Just like, there's so many reasons why a player's performance can dip, and collectively it can dip, and it just doesn't happen. And to be performing at that level is just a phenomenal achievement from a management point of view. And they're going out again. Everyone, look at Paul Flynn bursting. Like, what is Paul Flynn? 33, 34, all the medals he has, and he's bursting now to get back in.
Like, it is that depth. I was sitting where the players warm up for the Donegal game, just in front of it, and it's just one after another. From Costello to Flynn.
Well, the man, you mean Conor Carr, I think he's brilliant, and he won an All Ireland for them 3 years ago, whatever. He's had a load of injuries. But like, Brian Howard has been out again. We were discussing this out here. Like, he's been sensational this year, and he's come out. And I'd heard about him 2 years ago. This guy's very good, and you'd be nodding your head. But you never expect him to come in his first year at senior level and boss the game. And that's what he's done in a couple of games. He's been close to man of the match in nearly most of the games. That's phenomenal. So they're producing, and he keeps, as you say, Jim Gavin, keeps introducing players, and he keeps everybody on their toes. And if you're not performing, you don't make it. And that's the way it works.
Yeah. So that's the game today. Tomorrow, then, is Monaghan's day. How different are the teams now than the teams that met in the Ulster Championship?
I think they're both immeasurably better. They've improved, you know, and both of them got their defeats and their sort of their check to improve. You know, Tyrone losing to Monaghan that day, that would have given them a chance to regroup, because they were poor in Omagh. Likewise, when Monaghan went out the next day and lost to Fermanagh, they were shockingly bad, and everyone sort of knew that. And the team, and they've improved. They've changed their style of play slightly, their personnel. They've probably both found their best team and what makes them tick. So that mix between attack and work rate around the middle, they're both coming into the match near enough at full fitness, no major injury. So I think both teams couldn't probably ask to be going into a semi-final in better rude health, which I don't think it's going to be a game for the purists. You know, both teams don't kick the ball an awful lot. I think it will be a wee bit sort of lateral, a lot of hand pass. I hope from a Monaghan's point of view, it's intense. I hope there's contact, because that's what Monaghan need. Monaghan and back, even when we were playing, you need that bit of grit, you need a bit of contact to sort of get you off the front foot. And in the Fermanagh game, they didn't have that, and they just weren't able to lift it. And too many times when we've gone to Croke Park, you didn't introduce that into the game, especially against Tyrone those few years. And by the time you did get into the game was away from you. So I hope Monaghan sort of try and set the agenda, not let Tyrone dictate.
Yeah, they've shown unbelievable character several times times during the season already, particularly after David Clifford's late goal against Kerry. It'd be easy to believe it, the history of the last 5-6 years of thinking, we're just not there. We're just not good enough to get to an All-Ireland semi-final. Put in that performance down in Galway, and it answered a lot of questions, because McManus, we know, is possibly the best forward in the country, was outstanding against Kerry. But against Galway, it was the players around him who started to shine. Ryan McInnesby, the 4 points, like a couple of the best points we've seen all this year. Suddenly, there's a lot of guys you feel you can rely on in that Monaghan team.
So one of the big concerns for Monaghan was obviously with Conor, but there's a lot of honest guys, and when I say honest, you couldn't imagine what they will go to the well for you to do. And he likes Ryan McInnesby, Darren Malone, Fintan Kelly, Shane Kelly, as honest as the day is long, but the concern was they were too honest and that they sacrificed too much of their game working and working hard, and as a forward they weren't getting scores, because you know it's very hard to do all that work and still get up the top end. And I always felt Monaghan ultimately suffered more, because at the end of the day, if Manzi was shut down or we didn't get a few extra points from Rory Began, you were just left short. So they have stepped up. They've started getting scored. Like Shane Carey, hit three against Kildare. Ray McInnesby hit a couple against Leash. He popped up with scores and then hit four against Galway. You know, Finty Kelly does chip in with scores. So that has helped. But that has to continue. Those guys have to maybe, I've seen the Liam, I'm sort of hoping about 5 or 6 points between those workers. Because
You'll need that.
Because Conor's not going to get 1-9 like he did against Kerry. He's going to, if he can get sort of 5-6 points out of himself, that's a good day at the office against a fairly tight Tyrone fence. So you're going to need to be getting, you know, a good return from that area of the pitch.
The physicality side of it then, and you want to see them ready to match, like, is that something Malachy O'Rourke really needs to drill into them in the dressing room? Let's go and show Tyrone that even though it's our big day at Croke Park and they're well used to this kind of thing, as ready as ever.
Because and it's not just about being physical for the sake of it, it's just those players respond to it. You know, they play well in that close contact, or they're better county footballers when they're playing like that. When it's all standoffish and you're trying to have a sort of lateral, they just don't play as well. And that's why, you know, and it'll sort of raise the attention. Like the Monaghan crowd love that. They love to see Derek Malone's and these guys getting in, turning people over, raises the crowd, and it gives everyone a huge amount of energy. You know, like Darren Hughes. Darren Hughes is a typical example. When the game is sort of slow and lateral, like so Darren Hughes might be able to see when it's off the cuff and it's intense and breaking ball, he can burst into life and do things very few players, because it's pure raw physicality.
Quite a change in 12 months for Tyrone from leaving Croke Park after last year's All-Ireland semi-final, pretty much humiliated, a winter of discontent, a lot of infighting, a lot of former players critical of the style of play, yet here Mickey Hart is again. How's he done it?
Well, I think he hasn't thrown out. He said that he was going to stick with the system, which he has. He's tweaked it. He's doing better. He's getting more off the bench. That's definitely has made a big difference. I think his injuries have cleared up. He lost a lot of good players early on. His injuries have cleared up, and they're coming right at the right time. But he hasn't changed the system of play a huge amount. I'd say they're a little bit more offensive. Their transitioning is a bit better. But ultimately, they'll set up defensively, and they'll want teams to come onto them, and they'll hit them on the break. They are tremendously good at hitting you on the break, and you know they've got huge pacey players who will finish at the other end, and they've built it up. But let's be honest, they could have gone out to Meath. You know, they were very lucky to come out of Avon, even though they probably were the better team, but they were very lucky to come out of that. But they've built it up gradually now, and I think they're in a very good place now. But I felt that they'd give Dublin a real good game last year, and they didn't. So we'll just have to see. Again, they've lost three All-Ireland semi-finals in the last decade, and you know we think of Tyrone when they get to All-Ireland semi-final stage. They've won All-Irelands, obviously, and Mickey Hart has won All-Irelands, but their record in semi-finals hasn't been good in the last decade. This is a great opportunity for Monaghan, but you still come back to the fact that Monaghan, if you hold McManus and you hold Rory Began, or will Monaghan have the answers elsewhere? And for that reason, I'd probably be going with Tyrone.
A lot of texts coming in. As a Kerry fan, I'd just like to wish Eamon Fitzmaurice all the best for the future and thank him for him and his team for the great enjoyment they gave us year in, year out. From Mickey Wall in Tralee. Was on the pitch in Salt Hill last week after the game. Trackers on the backs of the players. No such thing. The last time Monaghan were in an All-Ireland semi-final, says Mark in Emmyvale.
He had to see a no thing come in.
Peter Sheridan, who's watching us on Facebook. Dublin, Galway is the biggest mismatch in recent All-Ireland semi-final history. Galway won't get within 10 points of the Dubs. Oh. Galway, the most overrated side in Ireland.
Over to you, Parry.
To go,
everybody's entitled to their opinion.
You're looking at prediction-wise then for today and looking ahead to the All-Ireland final. Is anyone going to get within 5 points of Dublin today or an All-Ireland final day?
It may sound cliche. There's very few poor teams get to this stage of the championship. I think, you know, all things being equal, Dublin are still 5-6 points. Mm. So, now, we're all watching sports of all different walks of life over the years. Stranger things have happened than Dublin losing a one-off game against any of the four teams. Okay, things have happened. I went to watch Dublin Dublin Donegal in 2014 after Dublin Hockey Dust in the quarterfinal, thinking there's nobody going to touch this Donegal Dublin team. And I'm in the same way as I'm thinking it now, and look what happened. Now, that's because Donegal brought something different to the table. It's a question whether Galway can do something different. You'll push them, ask questions off them. That bit of luck, you need all of that,
yeah,
but it can happen. But you have to sort of push it and you have to try and make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, but all things being equal.
The Donegal game a couple of years ago, like, I mean, Dublin were 6-2 up, 6-1 in the two massive goal chances.
But that bit of luck, Park, you know, they didn't get those goals, yeah.
Tin Pint didn't get them, and then Donegal obviously came down the pitch and got the goals. That's what's Galway. Galway's going to need goals today. They're going to need two, if not three goals today. Like, and again, we have to keep Comer and the boys near the goal. Look, as a Galway man, you're probably, if I'd money to win the match, you'd obviously couldn't back again Dublin. But I think there's something in this Galway team. I think there's a kick in them, and I think they go very, very, very close today.
I hope it's important that they go close. And let's be honest here, the hurling has put football in the shade for the whole year, let's be honest. And we badly need a couple of competitive All-Ireland semi-finals now this weekend. And I hope, sincerely hope, that Galway are going to really push them. But, you know, the thing about Dublin is that they play most games on their terms. And you've got to, if you play the game on Dublin's terms, you're not going to win. Yeah. You've got to bring them out of their comfort zone, and you've got to get them doing, you know, bring them to places, as you say, that they haven't been before. And unfortunately, there aren't too many teams capable of doing that. And it'll be interesting to see if Galway can come up with something different to do that.
Texter pointing out that Dublin haven't won 26 games in a row in the championship. They did draw with Mayo twice, which I should really remember, but they are 26 games unbeaten. Give me the two counties that will play the All-Ireland final.
Not in Dublin.
We're the real neutral here.
My heart would like to say Galway and Monaghan, but my head says Dublin, Tyrone, unfortunately.
And for a bit of crack, I'll say Galway, Monaghan, because we'll have a bit of crack in Monaghan.
Well, you have to say Monaghan, Horace. You're too close. You've won for the Monaghan County, so don't be careful.
Lads, great stuff. Enjoy the game this evening. Enjoy the game tomorrow as well. Dick Clerken, Liam Kearns, Pádraig Joyce, thanks a lot for joining us on our Saturday panel. That'll be up on offtheball.com shortly if you want to listen back. It's still Newcastle 1, Spurs 2, 20 minutes left. We're talking football next.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.